Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world. The world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." Gospel of the Lord.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, eternal Word of God made flesh, come among us, send your Spirit upon us, enlighten our minds, and open our hearts to your grace and truth as we close out 1 year and look to the new. May your light, your life, lead us. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. In preparing for this sermon as we approach New Year's, I found the following prayer. Dear God, my prayer for the new year is a fat bank account and a thin body. Please don't mix these up like you did last year. Do you have any New Year's resolutions yet? Someone has said that New Year's resolutions tend to go in one ear and out the other. I came across a cartoon recently that has two wild animals sitting looking at a wooded scene. One asks, "What exactly is a New Year's resolution?" To which the other responds, "It's a to-do list for the first week of January." Jay Leno said, "Now there are more overweight people in America than average weight people, so overweight people are now average, which means you've met your New Year's resolution already." This first Sunday after Christmas, we find ourselves in a culture that's now quick to move on from Christmas to New Year's, and Valentine's Day cards will soon be in stores if they aren't already. But the church savors the celebration of Christ's incarnation for 12 days until Epiphany on January 6th. So this morning, we're continuing to explore the wonders of the incarnation. This morning, as John describes it in his gospel. Though we will find in these words of scripture relevance for New Year's resolutions, but we will also find in them inspiration for life the whole year through. John in this passage refers to Jesus Christ as the Word of God. Much is usually made of the Greek word in the text, logos, which is understood in Greek philosophy as divine universal reason. But what I want to consider with you this morning is the Hebrew understanding of this Greek word. For there were, at the time of John's writing this gospel, Greek-speaking Jews. And John begins his gospel in such a way as to command their attention. He says, "In the beginning." This, of course, is how the first book of the Bible, Genesis, begins. But here John says, "In the beginning was the Word." The term word in Greek, logos, was used by Greek-speaking Jews when they would read aloud the scriptures and they would come to the name for God. The name for God was considered too sacred to read aloud, so out of respect for God, they would insert another word. Aramaic Hebrew-speaking Jews used the word Adonai, which means Lord, and it's in all caps when you see it translated in your Bibles in the Old Testament. But the Greek-speaking Jews substituted the Greek word logos, word, for God's name when reading the scriptures aloud. Logos in the Greek translation of the Bible has a very interesting usage. In our modern English-speaking world, we tend to think of word as something that communicates meaning, an idea. We hear it as a noun, as information, as a concept. But for the Jews, to speak of the word meant more. It was active. It conveyed more a sense of movement and action. For God's word, spoken in Genesis in the beginning, did more than communicate information. God spoke and created a universe out of nothing. And God said, "Let there be light." And it was so. God's word, his logos, his creative power, changes things. The logos of God not only accomplished the acts of creation, the logos of God was said to deliver his people. At many points in their history, the logos of God brought righteous judgment. At several points in the scriptures, the term logos of God was used to speak of God's wisdom. God's logos was not just a term that communicated information. It was a term that spoke about action. The logos was information being put to use wisely. The word of God, the logos of God, was about how to live a good life. And so we find the word of God coming upon prophets such as Ezekiel, Jeremiah, and Isaiah, giving them understanding. The logos of God brought wisdom in Proverbs chapter 8. Wisdom is personified in a way very reminiscent of the word becoming flesh, described in John 1. In Proverbs it says, "The Lord has brought me forth as the first of his works." Wisdom, that is. "I was appointed from eternity, from the beginning, before the world began. I at his side, rejoicing in his whole world, and delighting in humanity." Thus, the Greek-speaking Jews knew the Word of God, the Logos of God, as God's wisdom, personified and active among his people. This helps us understand the key point that we're considering this morning as we read John chapter 1. The Word came not merely to convey information about God, but the Word came to embody God, that we might actively experience God. The Word of God came not merely to give us information, but to give us wisdom, to live life to the fullest with the information we have. The Word came not merely to inform, but to transform. The Word of God came to reveal from our Creator the wisdom for living that we need. And this challenges us, doesn't it? It's so easy for us to fall into the habit, which you find in our culture, that focuses on information. So much of our educational system is built around conveying information to students, who are then expected to memorize that information and give it back. There's so little emphasis these days on thinking thoughtfully, using the information wisely to lead a good life. The glaring example of this, I find, is described in the book Finding God at Harvard. It describes a student making straight A's in his Harvard ethics class, who then proceeds to rape the woman who cleaned his dorm room. He knew the information about ethics. He got straight A's, but he didn't put it into practice. The A student in ethics had not used the ethical information he'd learned to lead a good life. He lacked the wisdom. And in the church, it's easy for us to focus on things we believe rather than living out what we believe and seeking to experience real life with God. How easy it is to focus merely on the information conveyed in the incarnation, on who Jesus is and what he reveals to us about God, rather than focus on how that word of God embodied wisdom and came to transform our lives. The point this morning, as we consider the Logos of God from the Jewish perspective, is that Jesus came not just with mystical information that enlightens us about heaven and what God is like. He came with wisdom to teach us how to live in the ways that we were created to live, in ways that help us flourish. Jesus came to lead us closer to God. The Word of God, the Logos of God, reveals who God is for sure. But the Word is creatively active, leading us to do something with this information, to live as God intends in wisdom and in relationship with him. God intends that our lives be impacted by the information revealed in the Word made flesh. Matthew Henry is known for his massive multi-volume commentary on the entire Bible. He was pondering once the significance of New Year's, and he wrote in his journal on January 1st, 1705, the following: "Not renouncing, but repeating and ratifying all my former covenants with God, and lamenting it, that I've not lived up more closely to them, I do, in the beginning of this new year, solemnly make a fresh surrender of myself, my whole self, body, soul, and spirit, to God the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, my Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier, covenanting and promising, not in any strength of my own, for I am very weak, but in the strength of the grace of Jesus Christ, that I will endeavor this year to stand complete in all the will of God." The Word of God came, as John says, full of grace and truth. May we make it our New Year's resolution to, as Matthew Henry, endeavor not in our own strength, but in the grace of God, to surrender to the Word of God, to seek that truth, to live that wisdom that it reveals in our lives. May we, in this new year coming, 2019, learn what it means that the Word of God is creative power, living and active in our lives. John tells us that Word became flesh. Jesus is the living, active wisdom of God. The Word made flesh has the creative power to create the universe out of nothing. That same creative power can transform that which is empty in our lives into fullness, meaning, and significance. The Word made flesh was active in the lives of men and women in the ages past. He comes to earth to be active in the lives of his people still. That same Word came to Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Jeremiah, is now the Word made flesh who comes to us. The Logos, Word, has not come to be a fairy tale story about a manger 2,000 years ago, but rather to be present to us in our lives. That Word came not merely to convey dogma to us, but to transform us. More important than resolutions to lose weight or resolving greater discipline in our lives is the potential of the Word of God implanted within us. Let us resolve to awaken ourselves to his presence and his active wisdom in our lives, not just the first week of January, but the whole year through. Let us resolve to read the scriptures more, pray more, and invite the Word made flesh into the moments of our days. Let us resolve to seek the active logos of God in our joys and in our sorrows, as well as in our challenges and our decisions. Let our New Year's resolution be to know the living, active Word of God more fully. I close with this challenge. It comes from 20th century theologian A.W. Tozer, who wrote this about a special message from God as we consider the new year. Here's what Tozer writes. If you ask God to give you a special message for the opening year, one that will be made seasonable and real in every exigency of unknown future, you will be surprised how faithfully he will fulfill his word and how fittingly the Holy Spirit will speak to you of things to come and anticipate the real needs and exigencies of your life. Might we consider that right now on the verge of this new year, taking Tozer's challenge, each of us asking God for a special message just for us that will fit whatever season of life we're in and lead us into the year to come, living an active logos, become flesh, living among us and within us. Would you ask God for such a message this morning? Tozer suggests that if we do, God will surprise us with how he gives us that message. The logos of God, the wisdom from on high, the creative power of the universe, the Word made flesh and dwelt among us, let us resolve this year to seek him, his experience, his presence with us, to live out what we have come to believe. So I'm going to pause here at the end. I'm going to read that Tozer quote one more time. And as I do, I'm going to pause for a moment of silence afterwards. And if you choose, ask God for that special message in that moment, or talk to God in the silence. If you ask God to give you a special message for the opening year, one that will be made seasonable and real in every exigency of unknown future, you will be surprised how faithfully he will fulfill his word, how fittingly the Holy Spirit will speak to you of things to come, anticipate the real needs and exigencies of your life. Come, Holy Spirit. To him be the honor, glory, power, and praise, now and forever. Amen.
Let us rise and